Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Well, maybe it's just me, but I don't think it is since other people are talking about it, but it feels as though teen lit is a lot darker than when I was reading Judy Blume in elementary school and middle school. I mean, the Twilight Saga is a far cry from Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. And here to discuss the idea of dystopia in young adult fiction, we've got Patrick Henry Bass, our friend, and of course, senior editor at Essence Magazine. You also have a list that you call the ultimate teen dystopian canon.
That's what I'm reading. Are You There, Vodka? It's Me, Chelsea Handler.
So, which is not for teens.
It's not for teens.
But from the title and the fact that you're here to talk about this, I take it that, A, you agree that we're seeing more dystopian themes appearing in younger books.
Certainly there are more dystopian novels for young adults being published than ever. As a matter of fact, it's a bright spot, sadly so, in the publishing industry that with young adults, that's a category that's gaining traction. And it sort of came out of nowhere. No one could really have predicted that dystopian fiction for young adults was ever going to take off, or that it would be a boom, because you always had dystopian literature for adults, and there would always be young people who dipped into.
Well, and you had to read them often in high school. You know, you'd have to read 1984.
Right, but there was always the dystopian novel for adults that young people would find, like Logan's Run, for instance.
Right,
you know,
sure.
and once they went into that world, there were very few other dystopian novels that young people could find. That is not the case today. I mean, there are dozens at least. Young adult novels that they can find, you know, with a very darker, more bleaker view of the world. And Celeste and John, this is happening just within the last 4 or 5 years. So it's not as if, you know, you can go back to, you know, 1991 or to 1981 and find, you know, these many novels that were published.
Let's be clear. We're not talking about just dark lit. I mean, gothic lit, like a lot of the vampire things, is not dystopian.
This makes Interview with the Vampire look like Judy Blume. I mean, this is
great.
You're talking paranoia. You're talking conspiracy theories. You're talking 911 commissions. You're talking plastic surgery. You're talking about a Cormac McCarthy 2.0.
Right.
This is really, really scary. Really,
or,
really.
But, or for an underage. Cormac,
exactly.
McCarthy for an underage. It's like Flatline meets The Breakfast Club.
Right. And some of these novels are beginning to attract middle school students. And I was remembering the Mad Men episode where John F. Kennedy had been killed, and then Ruby shot Oswald. And ironically, the character who most had a response was Betty Draper, who many people would consider infantile. And she stands up and says, "What is happening?" And no one is answering that for young people. And I think that they're trying to figure out what's happening in a post-911 world where we're in a great recession, where in every way government has failed them. Government has failed them, I think, that they think, through 911. Technology has failed them. I think that they feel that in terms of jobs, like it's a very bleak world if you're a young person. So they're reading world chaos. And what makes young adult dystopian fiction different from adult dystopian fiction is that adults and adult dystopian fiction, they're crushed by the world. And there is a glimmer of hope. Young people in dystopian fiction tend to take control. There are heroes who actually do find some glimmer of hope in some way, although it's to be continued because they're trilogies. So there's hope. But
gotta
then,
be a trilogy.
There's hope, but then there's another wrinkle. You know, there's another dark corner. There's another dark turn.
It sounds, I mean, obviously from the way you're speaking, it sounds like you don't think this is necessarily a bad thing or a bad sign.
Celeste and John, I always think it's good when people are reading. Unless you're reading How to Create a Pipe Bomb, I think reading is really, really good. And there are some books within the category, like Suzanne Collins, the Hunger Games. I think that she's a good writer. I think that what's drawing young people to the narratives, not only are they fast-paced, but I also think that the characters are very well drawn. I have a couple of suggestions.
Yeah, go ahead. Give us a list.
Well, I like The Knife of Never Letting Go by Patrick Ness. This was The Guardian UK rated it one of its top books of the year. The Chicago Tribune rated it one of the top books of the year. It came out in 2008. There have been two other books in the series. This reminds me very much of The Handmaid's Tale, but from a male perspective. Women are extinct. Margaret Atwood. Women are becoming extinct in another world, and young boys after 13 are becoming extinct. And so a young 13-year-old has to essentially save two genders and himself. And we follow his trajectory against just overwhelming odds with the government, with conspiracies.
The ultimate boyfriend. Attacks. He actually saves all women.
Exactly, yes. Exactly. He is the Warren Beatty of his time.
Indeed.
In the future, yes.
Next.
The other one is The Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins. She would be the queen, if you will, of the dystopian category. She makes comments on reality television, gladiator style events. A 16-year-old heroine is a part of 12 cities where two young people, two 16-year-olds, are chosen for a lottery where they battle for their lives, gladiator style, on television.
Do you,
I know, right?
I love that, though.
You can see, you can
it's
see
like
Celeste
The Running Man, which...
or
which,
Logan's Run, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, then there's Uglies by Scott Westerfeld. This is a world... You remember Looker?
Sure.
Remember,
yeah.
So this is a world in which all 16-year-olds are subjugated to plastic surgery, or their physical beings are changed, and they all look the same. It reminds me very much of that Twilight Zone episode about the mannequin.
Sure.
Yeah.
And Rod Serling has a huge hand in probably being the unwilling or unbeknownst godfather of this category, because we grew up...
He would have loved it, though.
He would have loved this. We grew up in an era of, you know, post-communism and paranoia and the House Un-American activities, but we knew who the other was. The other was supposed to be the evil empire, correct?
And it was real.
And it was truly real. But now we don't know who the other is. Well, so the other has now gone within, which The House of Stairs by William Sleater, which would be the classic of this category, if you will. And this goes to almost like StanfordBenet, like they're five young kids who are teenagers who are in a box, and the government is exploring social experiments on them, and they don't know.
So you buy the big idea here. This is social criticism for young readers, not simply adolescent drama finding dystopia, kind of the way it found the runaway themes of books when I was growing up.
Wow, John, that was quite deep. I like the latter part. I like the latter part of your theory.
It's the drama finding the dystopia.
I think it's the drama finding the young people, and they also have their own world here. I mean, I tripped upon this only because one of my colleagues, her daughter, had been reading the Twilight series, and she wanted one of the Suzanne Collins novels, and I had no idea what she was talking about. I thought it was Christian fiction. I had no idea. I thought,
no, my kids are way into this. My 12-year-olds are into
this. Which one is she reading?
Yeah. I mean, she's familiar with Collins. They've all read the Twilight stuff. They don't necessarily like it, but they love this world of their own where the adults are a little sinister and where special powers on the part of teenagers.
The world, yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah, and actually some very well-known writers are now dipping their toes into this category. Allegra Goodman, who, you know, the Catterskill Falls, she did The Other Side of the Island, which is sort of like an echo post-apocalyptic world. So it's green a bit, but it's also dark, so it's like black and green. where young people are in this community, and the community is slowly falling apart, and a young girl must save the day. What's also interesting about this category is women. Young women are finding themselves identifying with a lot of the characters, like Suzanne Collins, Allegra Goodman. Young women are even reading some of the Scott Westerfeld, like the Uglies, the Pretties, the Ugly series. Young women are gravitating towards this as well, which is a good thing. I mean, it's almost we're almost getting unisex fiction for young people.
Well, log on to our website, thetakeaway.org. There you have the complete ultimate teen dystopian canon list from Patrick Henry Bass and your list of your classics as well. And you can call us if you think Patrick missed any classics or ultimate teen dystopia fiction. Patrick Henry Bass, our friend, senior editor for Essence Magazine. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So dystopia is actually a kind of utopia, an upbeat notion of the end of the world from Patrick Henry Bass. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headley. This is The Takeaway.